So just before I bring you our word this morning, Judith's going to come and share with you our particular passage, and it's Matthew 6, verses 1 to 18. Thank you, Judith.
Giving to the needy. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honoured by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. Prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Fasting. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Amen.
Thank you, Judith. And thank you to everyone who's taken part this morning. Thank you to Claire, to Reuben, and to Emily for your prayers this morning as well. That was really appreciated. So this morning we're going to continue to look at our series on the Sermon on the Mount, and we move into chapter 6. And if your Bible is like mine, you would have been forgiven into thinking that we would be looking specifically at the areas of giving to the needy, prayer and fasting, and to the benefits and why we should be doing it, because of the titles maybe in our Bible. But actually, we're not going to be doing that. Whilst we may be looking into these areas, Jesus is in fact drawing us towards another point common to all three, and that is the motive in how we are doing these things. He starts with a warning, doesn't he? To be careful not to practice our righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. One thing I want to start with, which really isn't sort of linked in, but just to think, I wonder if you notice that there is already an expectancy and already an assumption that as religious people, as Christians, that we would be giving to the needy, praying and fasting. There's an expectancy already there is an assumption that that is happening. We read words like when you and not words like if you. We see in that verse, that warning, it says, to be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. It doesn't mean to say, it isn't saying that if you practice, be careful. It says when you practice. It was expected. And Jesus expects his disciples to be doing that. And Jesus expects us to be doing righteous acts today. He's not saying this is if you do it. He is saying when you do it. There is already an expectancy. We need to be practicing acts of righteousness and glorifying God as Christians. Are we? Is Jesus right to assume that we are giving to the needy, praying and fasting today? But that's another question for another day. So practicing righteousness and doing good works is the life of a Christian. In those days, it was for the Jews too. The problem is the Pharisees had fallen into a particular sin where their sins, where their acts of righteousness had been overtaken by pride in their piety. And Jesus has a warning to his disciples here against using it in these three particular scenarios. You see, the religious people had begun to show off, as it were, in their acts, with the motivation for them to look good and righteous before men rather than glorifying God. Now, I suppose when we think about what we've read and heard so far, we could be maybe forgiven to thinking it's okay to show off. Because actually in the previous chapter, we read those words, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Is it a contradiction? In chapter 5, it's saying this, and in chapter 6, it's saying the opposite. Well, actually, it's not a contradiction. It's again about context and what Jesus is referring to. In the verse in chapter 5, it's aimed at those who would hide their faith, that would keep their faith secret, that they may be scared or embarrassed. And Jesus says, no, our light must shine out. People must see our faith. It's about glorifying God. And in today's passage, however, it's about people who are showing their so-called acts of righteousness, glorifying themselves rather than God. A person called A.B. Bruce said this in response to the verse in chapter 5 and the warning in chapter 6. We must show when tempted to hide and hide when tempted to show. We must show when tempted to hide and hide when tempted to show. So Jesus looks at three areas of religious practice that the Pharisees would commonly be involved in, and where their motivation to glorify themselves rather than God was evident: giving, praying, and fasting. Now, giving was something the Jews knew all about. They did it. It was in their sort of mindset. Remember the concept of Jubilee, debts forgiven after 7 years. And in Jesus' day, in the temple, synagogue, religious places, they would have offering boxes where that money raised would go towards feeding the poor, meeting their needs. And the boxes, they would have a metal funnel in them, like an upside down tuba, that would take the money down to the container below. It reminds me of the ones that my children loved to do when we went to different places, where you put the money in and it spirals down and it falls into the bottom. And they loved it so much, they would keep asking for money to keep putting in the thing. Obviously, a gimmick to encourage it. It reminds me of that. Also, it reminds me of those machines that you sometimes get in supermarkets, where you can take your loose change, pour it into this machine, it adds it all up, and then it sort of chucks out notes or something. I can't remember what it did, but it sort of changes it all up for you. I remember doing it once with a bottle full of money. And, well, to be fair, I was just really embarrassed because it made such a racket going in that everyone looked around. And I suppose that's what Jesus is talking about. You can imagine this money going in, them pouring their money in, these rich people pouring their money in, and the noise, the crescendo. And people, it would be like a trumpet, as Jesus says, announcing oneself. And they did it to glorify them rather than glorify Jesus, to make people think, wow, they've given this money, or see, to make the poor think, wow, they're going to be the ones that are feeding us tonight. They weren't giving because they cared for the poor, they gave because of the acclaim and praise. What Jesus is saying is that we need to do it quietly, drawing no attention to ourselves, that even the left hand does not know what the right hand is doing. What we must do is do it quietly, so focused on God that even that which is nearest and dearest to us, that close to us, we might not be aware. But obviously, I'm not condoning giving large donations of money away without first talking to your husband or wife, as that might cause a few issues if you don't talk about it. In the second scenario, Jesus refers to when people pray. He talks about them standing on the street corner so that people would hear their prayers. Now, again, Jesus is talking about specific prayer. He's not talking about public prayer, which is about standing and people being heard, but actually it's about private prayer. Private prayer in a public space. When Jesus talks about the street corner, he's talking about a prominent corner, a bit like if you were on the corner of Oxford Street in London, a main promenade, a very public place. Basically, you're on a stage and everyone can see and hear what you are doing. And in those days, people didn't read or pray to themselves. They would read and pray out loud, so people would hear it. I remember as a teacher, when I did quiet reading, I would hate it if there were children reading their book and reading out loud, because it was far from quiet. And I'd have to say, do it in your heads, or do it quietly. Because all at once is a crescendo. And Jesus is warning against that, because people aren't praying for praying's sake, to praying to God. They're praying so that other people will hear that they're praying. That people will say, wow, he must be a righteous person, because he is praying. He is praying those prayers. And what Jesus is saying here is that, so rather than do that, you must go into a room, a quiet room. And the room he talks about, the Greek, is about a room that has a lock on it. Basically, we should go into our bedrooms, the quiet rooms, where nobody would find out that we were praying. A guy who I knew used to pray on the toilet, lock the door and pray on the toilet. However, I think that was more about the only time he had peace, rather than seeking righteousness by praying in secret. But you know what I mean. But I would also say that pride and glorifying God comes during public prayer as well. This really went through my head. How often have I been in a prayer meeting, especially in I find leaders' prayer meetings especially, where you listen to their prayers and they're full of these and thous and big words and amazing statements. And I remember reading something where actually those sorts of times can be a sort of like a competition of saying who can say the best prayer, who can use the best words, who can use the best statements. And then all the other people are thinking is, when I pray, I must use the different words. I must say different things rather than just praying before God. And in scenario three, it's about fasting and how the Pharisees, when fasting, would screw up their face, look somber, and draw attention to the fact that they are going without food. Jesus says, so wash your face, anoint your head, put a bit of makeup on, make it so that people wouldn't know what you are doing. The thing is, it's human nature to show people that we are doing what we're doing and tell them about it. Years and years ago, when I was going through all these fads of different types of diets and things like that, I did Slim Fast with the milkshakes and I hated it. And I would indeed, when people talked about how it was going, I would indeed screw up my face. And if I drank it in public, I would look as if what a martyr I was drinking these shakes instead of having my pasty or my sandwich. People naturally want to be seen for their commitment and sacrifice to their profession they're in. People, it's natural. Look at award ceremonies. Actors love it at things like Oscars and things like that. And it's the same with our commitment and sacrifice to God. It's easy to have people know what we're doing. And it is hard not to desire it. Society tells us to do that. When we think about education, children are told to prove themselves, to show what they're doing so they can be noticed, so that they can be seen, to have something different about them. Well, society tells us to stand out, to be go above the rest. We see, don't we, with charitable donors, when they give more often than not, they want their name put up somewhere. To put on a football stand, maybe. Their logo on a website with the line supported by. They do it to seek glory, to seek recognition, to advertise, to show what they have done. Recently, we went through our process of looking for sponsors and funding for the 06. And we had two big ones, and both had opposite thing. One part of their requirement was that their logo was to be put on the website to show what they have done. Whereas one specifically said that we do not want our name out there. We do not want our name in the press. We do not want to be glorified in what we've done. Which I think is the right way. How about when we have those checks, when people give checks over to people? Those big checks, don't they? You know, I wonder how they put them under the counter when they go into the bank. These massive checks, how do they slip them under? How do they go in the machines? But they do it to get attention, to show what they have done. Humans naturally seek glory and honor. And sadly, when Christians do it, it's often at the expense of God receiving glory. And you could be forgiven again for people in those days, because actually it was important that they had recognition in those days. People's opinion of them mattered. How they got into good jobs, how their status was built up, even to find the right person to marry, So motive to glorify yourself was rife. But Jesus is having none of it. And Jesus, in these three scenarios, is pretty scathing. He calls them hypocrites. They were pretending to people they to be people they weren't. The Greek word hypocrite is used to refer to an actor on stage who holds his real identity in order to play a role. They pretend to be someone other than themselves. And so these givers were pretending to care about these needy. The people praying were pretending to seriously lift up prayers and build a relationship with God. And those fasting, pretending to be righteous by fasting, in all three cases and in other righteous acts, what they really cared about was being admired and adored by the people. These hypocrites do good works for show and not for the love of God. Outwardly, they seem righteous, but inwardly, they're far from it. And sadly, they are fooling other people. But even more sadly, they are not fooling God. Jesus had to deal with fake people. And nothing has changed today in our churches today. So much damage has been caused through hypocrites. Some of the greatest barriers for people coming to follow Jesus is through people's experiences of hypocritical Christians. Are we hypocrites in what we're doing? So how do we practice righteousness? How do we do these things? Simply, when we do good works for God, pray to God, and train ourselves in the disciplines of God, we need to forget about ourselves. Forget about what others may think and focus solely on God. We need to do all these things to glorify God and give him praise. All that matters to us is that God sees what we're doing, and it doesn't matter if anyone else sees it. This is how we must approach all our work in the kingdom of God. And what is our reward? Well, Jesus talks about those that show off and do it, glorify themselves. Their only reward is the praise and acclaim of people. The benefits and rewards from God are forfeited. And what a forfeit! That we would want something so small and finite over something so precious and eternal is beyond me. You see, the praise and acclaim of people only lasts for a short while. People move on so quickly to the next thing, the next person. Our acts of so-called righteousness will be forgotten when the next person comes along. It's human nature. A pupil I used to teach got onto X Factor, and he was part of a boy band that was created, and he got lots of attention. His followers on Instagram grew. The praise from girls was phenomenal. The acclaim from young girls was amazing. But they came out on one of the rounds. They lasted for a few months. Then the band split up, and now it's as if he never did it. Fans moved on to somebody else. He's no longer the attention of people. That is what people are like. You're famous for 5 minutes. Is 5 minutes of people's acclaim worth forfeiting God's eternal rewards in heaven? So how can we work in the kingdom of God? So as I draw to a close, first ask ourselves what we are seeking from our righteous act. Are we seeking God's approval, or is it self-approval or people's approval? Are we keeping what we're doing to ourselves, or do we feel the need to tell others? Is it self-seeking approval from others, then remember no reward will come from God. And secondly, we need to pray. There's a massive section in this about praying, which we haven't gone into detail, but it talks about that simple prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. But actually, it's a simple prayer that we pray. A prayer aimed at building one's relationship with God. our heart and motive should be all about building relationship. Through prayer, we can strengthen that as our relationship with God and as our relationship with God grows, our need to impress and seek acclaim from others will dim. And our sole purpose will be to seek the love and acceptance of God alone. Let's ask God to help rid ourselves of pride. Pray that God's will be done. Pray that God is glorified. Pray for the power not to tell others about what you're doing. Pray for the joy knowing it is God who knows what we're doing and that we're pleasing him. Let prayer lead our acts of righteousness. So this morning, reassess your motives. Why do you do the things you do for God? Do we do it to look good, to blow our own trumpet, like the Pharisees Jesus refers to in the passage, the hypocrites? Or do we do these things because we want to be more like our Father in heaven? Do we pray because we want to spend more time with our Father in heaven? And do we fast to God so we can truly work in his will? And then in all these things, all glory should only go to him and not ourselves. It is our choice. Do we glorify men or do we glorify God in our acts of righteousness? Let's just pray to close. Dear Lord, we do indeed thank you again for this morning, for your word, your two words really about prayer and guidance in our FOI education system, but also for this as well of actually praying that you help us to have the right motive in why we do the things we do for you. Help us to be so absorbed in you that the things around us and the people around us will grow dim. That our sole aim is you, not for our own praise or acclaim. Help us not to be hypocrites. Forgive us if our hypocritical nature has prevented people from coming into church or have stopped people trusting in you. Help us to be righteous before you and before man, but with the one purpose of glorifying you and not ourselves. So be with us, Lord, this coming week. Let your word dwell into our hearts. Amen.